Welcome to the Memoirs of Her. This is your host, Sindira Mendes, on the Memoirs of Her. H standing for humble, E standing for exquisite, R standing for resilience. Please be advised, this is a podcasting session coming to you with an adventurous and humorous life journey of a mysterious woman, including her accounts in life. So tonight's topic is going to be about understanding the different types of dyslexia, and we're going to keep it brief and sweet on tonight's show. With that being said, I want to say hello to everyone. I wanted you all to know I've been weathering the weather, meaning getting over a common cold. However, previously on the Memoirs of Her, the podcast was about how to live with a learning disability called dyslexia. The podcast was about the introduction to dyslexia as a learning disability. I talked about what it is, how do people develop the condition, and how to live with dyslexia. So tonight's show is a little bit more in depth as far as discussing understanding the different types of dyslexia. So please understand that dyslexia is a learning disorder that involves difficulty in reading and comprehension of words, sentences, or interpreting words, letters, and other symbols. However, the disorder does not affect the person's level of general intelligence. So I want you all my listeners to know and understand that, okay? So with that being said, I'm going to go over the types of dyslexias ranging from mild to acute to severe, okay? So some of the subtypes of dyslexia are called phonological, okay? So phonological is one. It is an auditory dyslexia, okay? It is when a person has difficulties in reading in regards to the phonological order of words and its enunciation. It is a phonological impairment, whereas the person's ability to break up and separate the words in order to read is a little bit, tad bit difficult to assess. Okay, so this phonological dyslexia kind of correlates with attentional dyslexia. So attentional dyslexia is a reading deficit in which letters migrate between neighboring words but are correctly identified and keep their correct relative position within the word. For example, fig tree can be read to a person with dyslexia as fig free or even tie free. So sometimes, you know, just based off of the assessment and how the person or, you know, interprets it, the word, it can, like I said, it kind of correlates with phonological as well as attentional dyslexia, kind of merged together with the two, even though they are two different types, as far as one being auditory and one is just identifying the word and being able to say it correctly. You know, and not looking at it or seeing it from a different lens. As I talked about before, how people with dyslexia see things in backward forms. So this could be an example of attentional dyslexia where a person can mix up the words. Okay, so moving along to surface dyslexia, which consists of semi-auditory dyslexia. Okay, so the difference is the person can master phonics well, but have difficulties with words spelled differently than the actual sound of the word. So, for example, irregular words will consist of weight, debt, yacht, father, answer, earth, island, friend, colonial, and chaos. Those are semi-auditory dyslexia as far as the person being able to spell the word differently or even just assess it differently, you know, things of that sort. Okay, so in addition, the child tends to rely on spelling sounds, correspondence heavily, meaning the alternative to breaking up the words in order to announce it correctly. So basically, when a child is reading and they trying to break up the word. They would actually use their finger to cover the word to actually pronounce the word in its entirety. So they will rely heavily on that technique throughout reading the whole passage or, you know, paragraph or whatever it is needed for them to read. You know, so that's how they will manage in reading, you know, someone who has dyslexia. Okay, so in addition, the child, signs and symptoms are when you realize your child cannot recognize a word as a whole and may either skip the word in reading or having difficulty pronouncing the words. So sometimes this could be a little bit tricky because sometimes let's say you have your child, they're in school, the teacher calls on them and they read it from the passage. Sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, sometimes a child with dyslexia will read the passage and skip over words or sometimes put words there that's not even there in the passage. So sometimes that can happen when a child is actually reading and they're in a class setting and a teacher calls on them to actually read. So that is a clear indication that either they're not paying attention or it could be an indication that they have dyslexia. Okay? And it could be semi-auditory dyslexia. Okay, so the causes of surface dyslexia is damage to the left parietal or the temporal lobe. So that's what causes a person with the condition of semi-auditory dyslexia to have. So that part of their the brain is kind of damaged, like I said, from the left parietal section of their brain. Okay, so now moving along to rapid naming, which is also called rapid automatized naming, regarding the level of speed and duration of recognizing and reading words. Okay, so in short, RAN, which is rapid automatized naming, refers to the four reading types, which are word reading, text reading, non-word reading, and reading comprehension. Okay, so rapid naming is a part of phonological deficit, referring to a level of illiteracy, okay, in reading instead of in writing. So it's not so much in writing, but in reading in particular, okay? So the core deficit consists of phonological awareness, phonological or verbal short-term memory, and once again, rapid automatized naming, okay? So I'm just going to break down in detail what these things consist of, okay? So starting off with phonological awareness. Once again, it is a deficit that involves the lack in detection and manipulation of words at three levels of sound and structure, which are 1, syllables, 2, onset of rhymes, and 3, phonemes. Phonemes, that's what it's called. Okay, so syllables. When it comes down to phonological awareness, it's a unit of pronunciations with one vowel, which will be A, E, I, O, U, with or without a surrounding consonant forming the whole or part of a word. So for instance, you might look at water. It has two syllables in it, which is A and E. So it's impossible, is another word with 4 syllables, and those four syllables consist of I, O, I, and E. Okay, so those details as far as syllables is kind of ties into phonological awareness and where a deficit can be located. Now, onset in rhymes. Onset is usually the consonant sound sound our sounds at the beginning of a syllable, such as infernal. Okay, infernal has the syllable of I, and it's used to express a consonant sound. Okay, rhyme, on the other hand, is the portion of a syllable from the first vowel to the end, such as at, sat, and flat. Those are rhymes, whereas the syllable from the first vowel is present. Okay, if that makes any sense. And then last thing from phonological awareness is phonemes. It is a unit of sounds that distinguishes one word from another in a particular language. For instance, sound patterns such as sin and sing. These things could also get mixed up in phonological awareness and cause the person with dyslexia to have a lack of detection of the word manipulation, especially when words like that sound similar to each other or look similar to each other. So, in addition, phonological verbal short-term memory, codes, auditory information for temporary storage. So that's something to just be aware of. And once again, as I said, phonological or verbal short-term memory codes are auditory information for temporary storage. Okay, so a lot of times someone with dyslexia may not retain the information that they read as far as understanding the context of the word, especially when it's consistent of rapid naming, which is rapid automized naming once again. Regarding the level of speed, how fast they are able to read, and duration of recognizing and reading the words. So if they have trouble recognizing and making out the words, that can really slow the process down for them. And it's more of a, not mild, not severe. Let me see. I think it's more or less of... It could be severe because it could be debilitating as far as the child having to stop, read, and trying to understand in the context of the word, especially when it involves phonological awareness. Okay, so moving along to double deficit. Double deficit is a severe case of dyslexia, whereas the person has difficulty with both rapid naming and phonological impairment, which can cause a major difficulty in reading. Reading impairment is more noticeable and easy to diagnose or interpret as a dyslexic condition. So this is more of a severe case, and I feel that just the rapid naming is more of a acute stage as far as them having trouble with reading. But double deficit, that is absolutely severe. And yes, at the end of the day, it causes some type of difficulty with the children in reading. Okay. All right, so let me see. So now moving along to diacetic dyslexia. Diacetic dyslexia is a type of dyslexia that is marked by difficulty in recognizing whole words and thus by an over-reliance on sounding out words. So as I spoke about earlier about semi-auditory dyslexia, that kind of ties into that as well, as far as the child being able to break up the word. Okay, so it's an over-reliance on sounding out words each time they are encountered. It is supposedly due to a deficit in visual memory and visual discrimination. Okay, so attentional dyslexia is a reading deficit in which letters migrate between neighboring words but are correctly identified and keep their correct relative position within the word. So, for example, fig tree can be read as fig free or even tie free. Okay. Visual dyslexia is when a child struggles to remember what they saw on a page. They may have a visual dyslexia. This type affects the visual processing, making it so that the brain doesn't get the complete picture of what the eyes see, which in fact kind of cause a person to have trouble with retaining information. So that is a form of dyslexia that, you know, some people can suffer from, and it may not just necessarily just be with reading. It could just be, you know, them being able to memorize something and not being able to retain that information. So students may have issues, or with that per se, I would say that particular dyslexia, they may have issues with studying. Their studying technique had to be crafted in a unique way in order for them to be able to function and things of that sort. So those are the different types of dyslexia, and the reason why I chose to talk about that is because I know that there are some people who may be embarrassed about their condition or have that condition, and some people are not embarrassed. Not all people are embarrassed, but they learn to live with their condition. And I just thought that it's good to be educated, to understand what it is, how to live with it, and not to be ashamed about it. You know, I feel that if anyone have any, you know, disability or, you know, any fallacies in the development, to not look at it as a hindrance, but learn to live and accept, you know, your condition, whether it be something mental or it's a physical, you know, appearance. You know, just learn to be happy with you, understand who you are before you try to understand other people, and learn how to equip yourself for the different types of fallacies that you may have, especially pertaining to dyslexia. So whatever gaps that you have, you know, in that condition, is good to practice on filling it in and just keeping yourself equipped and understanding what you can and what you cannot do. And knowing that, you know, nobody can really define who you are. You know, you shouldn't let people make you feel like you're slow, or people make you feel like, oh, you know, you're not someone who should be, they should be around and stuff like that. Don't let other people's judgments, you know, stop you from moving forward in life, is what I'm basically saying, because some people could just be so cruel. And I feel that at the end of the day, what you may, with that condition, what you may not be equipped in, as far as one area, you may be a genius in another. And some of the people who have had dyslexia, some of the famous people, I'm going to name them. All right. So some of the people who we may know as to be famous who had dyslexia is Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise was an actor. He was someone who suffered or was diagnosed with dyslexia at the age of 7. However, he became someone, you know, phenomenal as far as his character and how he played in, you know, certain movies. He was a multi-award winning Hollywood star. So, you know, having the condition did not stop him from moving ahead or cripple him or things of that sort. Okay, Leonardo da Vinci, you know, he's a painter, and he accomplished the famous Mona Lisa, and, you know, he was very skilled in many other areas, including mathematics, sculpting, and as an inventor, but he also had dyslexia. So this is why I'm saying that even though you may have a crippling disability, you still may be a genius in another. Okay, another person who had dyslexia was Walt Disney, okay, an American icon who built the Disney Empire with his brother and is responsible for the growth of animation production. The popular Disneyland parks have since been developed globally. So look at that. You see someone such as that Walt Disney creating a whole Disney empire. Like, that's phenomenal, you know? Like, where does that happen, right? So when people cast you out or think that you're a little slow or something is wrong with you, at the end of the day, let them think what they're gonna think. Because the same way how they judge you or prejudge you as or cast you out or as you're not smart, you're not too bright, you end up being somebody, you know, amazing in life later on. And then they have to turn around and look at you, be successful, while they still living the same life that they is, judgmental life that they're living. So at the end of the day, it's like, what's the point, right? So another person lasting is Jim Carrey, the 2-time Golden Globe winner, rose to fame as a cast member of Fox sketch comedy In Living Color, and he had a leading role in Ace Ventura, Dumb and Dumber, and The Mask established him as a bankable comedy actor. So look at that. You know, once you find your niche, you find what you are good at, and, you know, once you get into the groove of it, the dyslexia is not gonna, like, be that much of a problem. Once you're focusing all your energy into something that is great as far as your purpose in life. I'm pretty sure all of these actors and these painters that I've mentioned, they lived out their purpose. So, like I said, it may be crippling in some way as far as reading, but has nothing to do with the person's level of intelligence, basically, is what I'm saying. So, with that being said, I wanted to keep it brief and sweet on tonight's show. And I am trying to get over this cold. Yes, indeedy. I am trying to drink my tea and trying to, like I said, weather this storm. It's this little cold, call me cold, and get over it. But I just want all my listeners to know that just to be encouraged and know that don't allow other people to judge who you are or define who you are. You know, you be who you are, and just know that you are unique and you are special. Okay, so with that being said, I thank you all for listening on tonight's show, and I hope that you have a wonderful night. You was able to take some jewel from this show on tonight. So with that being said, bye-bye.